like the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading today, there were times in my life when I yelled out to the Lord, angry, frustrated, and trying to comprehend what's going on in my life. When I told the Lord, "You duped me, O Lord, you duped me." But I let myself be duped by you. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. Even though I was going through a lot of trial and hardship, and the pains were so hard that I wanted to let go at times. I wanted to just walk away at times. And I'm thinking to myself, if I knew all of those things, all of those hurts, all of those trials, all of those hardship, all of those sufferings, all of the things that I had to went through before I say yes to my vocation, to my discernment, I wouldn't have said yes at all. But the Lord, in his loving and providential way, has slowly and eased me into it. He fed me milk. He gave me candy in the beginning, easy food to swallow. But then he slowly introduced me to trials and hardship. He slowly expanded my heart so that I begin to fix my heart on him instead of other people's approval or what they think of me. It's with heart, my brothers and sisters. I felt like at times that he was duping me. He was somehow permitting these extravagant things that I thought in my mind to happen to me. Sometime I told the Lord, "I know, Lord, you love me, but I don't need you to love me this much." At times I have cried out to the Lord, and I felt that he had duped me. But yet, his love was so strong that his love always triumphed. And yet, I am still here because he loved me. At times, I was an object of betrayal, of hurts, of laughter, and of false accusations. But yet, just like the prophet Jeremiah, I say to myself that the fire that he had endowed in my heart imprisoned my bones, and I have to let his love burn away everything that's mine so that I can hold on to him. My brothers and sisters, today the Lord is very adamant, very real, very transparent and honest to us. As he rebuked Peter when Peter thought of him only as a social, political, or earthly Messiah. And when he told Peter that he will be rebuked by the elders and suffer greatly, Peter told him, "Oh no, God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." And the Lord reminded Peter, and he reminded each and every one of us, that our way of thinking are oftentimes as human beings do, but not as God does. Therefore, whoever wishes to come after him, to bear the name of Christ, to be Christian, but deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Not one time, not a few times, but every single day. My brothers and sisters, what if we have more money, more title, more prestige, more wealth, more love, more popularity, more of whatever we think will make us happy? Will those things really make us happy? I'm asking you right now. By having a bigger TV, a newer vehicle, a better paying job, a bigger house, or have more likes, more followers on social media, or whatever means you and I have allowed ourselves to be defined at, by having quote-unquote more of those things, will we be happy or not? My brothers and sisters, I can tell you that they don't. They might be pleasurable for a short moment, but they will never make us happy. Only his love satisfies. Only his love gives life. Only his love frees us. And only his love is genuine because His love is everlasting. His love is ever faithful. His love is always abiding. That's why my brothers and sisters, St. Paul, in the second reading today, ask us to give our bodies, our life, our whole being, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, through a life of spiritual worship and a life of prayer. And he asks us not to conform ourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, our heart, our body, our everything, so that we learn to discern what is the will of God, what is truly eternal and everlasting good, what is pleasing to Him and perfect in love. The second readings from St. Paul to the Romans today is so powerful. He asks us to discern, because everything in our life are all goods, including the temporal, immediate, materialistic, humanistic goods. They all seem to be good. But we have to discern to see if they are the eternal good, the everlasting good, the theocentric, God-centered goods or not. And will they please God, or will they please ourselves? And will they make us be perfect in love, or will they serve our ego? My brothers and sisters, I will be the first one to raise my hand by telling you, every time He had closed the doors and let all of my plans fail, He had freed me more of my own ego, my own self. Even though at times when I was really pious about it, He stripped me off of everything that I had planned for so that I can follow Him. It's hard. It's really hard. Just like what I said in the beginning, I felt at times that God had duped me. But I'm so glad that if he would show me every trials, every hardship, every pains, every suffering, everything that I have to go through in my own priesthood, I wouldn't have said yes in the beginning. But with His kindness, with His mercy, with His patience, with His forgiveness, He has slowly expand my heart by stripping me off all of my ego, all of my pride, all of my false piety, so I can love Him. Even at times when He permitted false accusations, a betrayal, and all the hurt that I cannot imagine. They hurt. They hurt when I have worked so hard for something. They hurt when I felt like I didn't do anything wrong, but got falsely accused. They hurt when I was belittled and got yelled at and just being put down by other people. But at the end of the day, who do I love? Who do I love? Who really loved me? And will I will to let go of everything to love Him or not? I'll end my homily with this, my brothers and sisters, by telling you that in one of my hardest trials in my life, when I felt like the Lord had failed me because He took away what I worked so hard for, what I thought what His will, I went home really pissed off, angry at Him, angry at the church, angry at my superiors, angry at the people that I thought didn't understand me or see my genuineness of faith. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't even pray. I did my prayer, but I felt nothing in it because I fell into this dark desolation as if God had permitted this to happen to me. And it hurt so much. And when that happened, I asked the Lord, why do You permit this to happen? Why, Lord, is this happening? And all I got was not an answer, but a question. He asked me, Hoy, I love You. Is that not enough? What do you say to that? I love you, is that not enough? I'm sharing with you what I've went through. No lie. It hurts. It still hurts today. And even my latest trials when I went through still hurt. But I pray for the people who have hurt me. I pray for them in their brokenness, in their humanity, just that I am broken and at times allowed my humanity to get the best out of me. I pray for the people just as the good Lord is working in me and through me. May He work in them and through them to bring conversion of heart and trueness to the faith as well. Yes, at times we will feel that the Lord dupes us, but His love is so strong that He calls us and all we can do is say, "Here I am, Lord." Therefore, my brothers and sisters, reread all the readings today. Let us take up our cross every day to follow Him and to be transformed not by the things of this world, but by the eternal values, by His everlasting love, so we can discern what is truly good, what is holy, what is perfect in our love for Him.